folks. I'm Chris Daly, and I'm delighted to introduce Dr. Rupert Francis to our conversation this evening. Dr. Rupert is involved in a very important initiative that's been going on since 2016. It's Jamaica Diaspora Crime Intervention and Prevention Task Force. Dr. Rupert was born in St. Anne in the town of Otterias. He attended York Castle High School in Brownstown and the University of West Indies. While he was there, he served as a commissioned officer in the Jamaica Defense Force. He later migrated to the United States, went all the way to the West Coast, and he pursued his education. He believes education is a very vital step in our social ladder. His focus is on advancement of young boys of color in the United States. He currently serves as a full-time professor at the Art Institute of Agaspe University, located in San Bernardino, and is a visiting professor at DeRay University, located in Paloma, California. To engage him this afternoon is my partner, Janice Maxwell. Janice, take it away.
Thanks, Chris. Dr. Rupert Francis, it is a pleasure to hear from you. So tell us about your Jamaican roots.
It is indeed a pleasure to be on your show, Chris and Janice. And my Jamaican roots is very simple. I'm from the country, not a town person at all. I did go to Kingston myself to become a part of the Jamaica Defense Force, but I began in Otterias. Very, very simple, seaside town. Very few facilities there for young people at the time, but I made do with it. I went to school at Westland School, Methodist School, they call it, and then I went on to primary school in Otterias. And after that, I won a scholarship to school in Brownstown. It was a wonderful life, the sea, the sand and everything, and the beaches. Wonderful place to have born, but not a very wealthy place.
But wealth is what everyone has their own version of what wealth should be. Some define
Absolutely.
It by money, some define it by having good health and friends and, you know. So who and what played a major influence in you deciding on how important education is for your life advancement?
Well, I would begin with my mother and my surrounding. My mother, I am in the process of trying to write a book called My Mother Who Fathered Me, The Real Story. And that, if you recall, Professor Edith Clark had written a book about that, but it was more of a study. This is a real thing that I'm trying to do about my mother. She's a very hardy woman, small in stature, but big in, you know, her outreach. She felt that education was the way to go. And so all of her children, she made sure that we went to school on time and we did what we had to. And in particular me, I had a knack for it, she said. And so she spent a lot of time with me. She had put her store in me, so to speak. And although she had not gone further than third grade herself, she felt that that was the way to go. And I'm happy that she did. I give her all the kudos for who I am today.
Oh, yes. That's true. And you've done quite well for yourself, to the point that your migration journey took you to the West Coast, California. This seems unique, as most migration for us Jamaicans is along the East Coast, New York, the tri-state. And for those of you who don't know what tri-state is, it means New York, Connecticut, and
New Jersey.
So you went to the exact opposite. You ended up on the East Coast. What were the factors that contributed to that migration pattern?
Actually, my brother and sister was there before me. My brothers and sister were there before me, and my mother was there. And I had I had retired from the army and felt I'd done enough in Jamaica. I'd had a career in Jamaica, and I wanted something different for me and my children. So I decided to join them in California because that was the best place to be with friends and family. And so that's where I went there. And at first, I'm telling you, I didn't like it. It was dry. It was, you know,
really?
Hot. And, oh, yeah.
But you're used to that. Wouldn't that be like kind of like from what one hot place to another?
No, not really. The difference is that that's a desert. It was, the heat was different. But the beautiful thing about that I learned along the way was that if you went under a tree in California, and even though it's 100 degrees out, you'd be cool under the tree. So I spent a lot of time under the tree.
Kind of like Third World. Remember Third World had that song, 96 degrees.
Degrees in the shade, absolutely. Yes. You got it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So give us some insight into your conviction about education.
Well, as I said, I personally believe that that's the way forward, you know, educating yourself and others is the way forward. And I really wanted to become a lawyer, actually, because I was the adjutant in the Jamaica Defense Force who oversaw those, you know, trials, court-martials, and so on. And I really had an affinity for it. And unfortunately, while I was there, my daughter had met in an accident and was killed in an accident. And I found, and that was really a tragedy. So what happened was I decided to do what she wanted to do, psychology and education. So that's why I went into that. And while in that, to help other young people, because she really was big on that sort of thing. And while there and working in the system and studying in the system, I was given an opportunity to become a professor after my first degree because I had no civilian degrees at the time. And so I actually loved it. And I started to work at one college and then two colleges. And I was promoted along the way. And I found out that young black boys, I was very interested in that because I was interested because I found that the male was sort of not present in the cultural family, in the family, you know, that even when I was in Jamaica. And I found the same thing in the United States. And I wanted to change that. I wanted to, you know, see if we could get the males back in their rightful place, as far as I'm concerned, in the families, and educated and pushing their families. And since that was not my experience, I decided that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And some people don't really pay attention to that. Is that when you look at the inner city communities in Jamaica and you juxtapose it to the inner city communities in the U.S., you see a lot of the same things that are in place. Whether there are some people argue and say that ghettos are created to keep certain people exploited and marginalized, so for whatever the factors are to have it, inner city life, whether it's in Jamaica or inner city life in the U.S., they have a lot of parallels. You seem to have a laser focus on the boys' education. We can share some more motivation and what drives this dedication.
Well, you know, I had at the time two sons, and I saw what was happening to the children in the system. For example, most of the young black boys ended up in prison. And so they would go to this sixth grade, eighth grade, whatever, and their graduation would be in a prison. And I didn't want that for my children or other people's children. And I thought that we would try to change that phenomenon and so on. And there were a lot of people who were speaking about it at the time. Bill Cosby was speaking about it. Many other persons were talking about it, and the way these young men were acting and so on, it was just not, you know, they're more focused on sports and music. Not that that's a bad thing, but at the same time, they would just focus on that, and not everybody can be a star. And so I felt that we should work on that. And a big part.
I was saying,
yes, only
1% of those people actually make it to the Michael Jordan.
Exactly. So, you know, I really was affected by that, and so I decided to make it my life's passion and work to make sure that young black boys, and that's what I did my dissertation on, in fact. And I studied the schools in the area, graduation rates and what have you, and I saw the I saw the pattern, and I decided that no, this is not.
Yeah, they call it the school to prison pipeline.
That's correct. That's one of the ways. You know, it was just quite obvious, and the girls were a little bit different, and much more different, as a matter of fact. And so I had to, to see, and it was as I said, my own children that I looked at, and I said, and I saw the behavior, and I saw that sort of thing, and that's why I decided to pursue the course of education for young men and young women, but mostly young men.
Yeah, and we're glad that you did, because giving back to Jamaica seems to be in your DNA, per se.
That's
so
correct.
What
yes.
convictions is here?
Well, to be quite honest with you, no. I think I was a very lucky young man. There, but for the grace of God goes I, for example. I had no father figure in my household at all, apart from my uncles and my grandfather. And so, therefore, I had to find a way forward. And there were people, there were mentors in my life. I can recall Dr. Osmond Tomlinson, the Custis of Sin. I was one of those guys, tenacious little boys. The men who were held in the highest esteem, I would try to find them, befriend them, and try to learn from them. And Mr. Morrison, for example, he was a land surveyor. Dr. Osmond Tomlinson, for example. Mr. Rennie, who was the Justice of the Peace in the area. And I befriended those people, and they gave me good counsel, and they kind of nurtured me on my way up. So as a result of that, when I went to school, for example, and I was misbehaving after school, and I finished high school, and I didn't know how to get to university and all that sort of thing, my mother again interceded and went to Dr. Osmond Tomlinson and said, listen, we've got to get this boy out of here. And he found a job for me at Reynolds Jamaica Mines, and then they sent me to the army to vie to see if I could become an officer in the Jamaica Defense Force. And I won the competition. By the way, I won the Jamaica, the Boy of the Year for Jamaica as well at the same time. And I won the competition, and I was sent to the Royal Military Academy of Sandhurst and Mons in England.
Nice.
To be tutored. And
you know what I was curious about? How do you, you were groomed to be an officer, right? Versus
correct,
groomed
yes.
to be an enlisted person. So they
that's
saw
correct.
Something special about you, your grades, your leadership ability?
Absolutely. I was a Queen Scout as well, too. So I had honed my skills in school. I was a debater, at school. I also led in many other areas in the school. And so they saw that. I was not a great runner or anything, but when it came to all the qualities that I had
leadership qualities,
according to them.
Leadership.
And so they honed it, yes. That's correct.
Yeah. There are many organizations engaged in uplifting Jamaica within the diaspora.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes. That
what
is correct.
What is the compelling reason we need yet another organization in this space?
You know, let me say this to you, why I thought and I do think that the Jamaica Diaspora Crime Intervention and Prevention Task Force, which is now in the USA, is in Canada, and it's in the UK as well. Now, I do believe that we could have done a lot more, in my opinion, than we have done, but we have laid the groundwork. But the important thing is this, that we have to set, we cannot divorce ourselves from Jamaica at all. We should not.
No.
Because Jamaica is where, let me say, where neighbor string is, you know? And
it's
so
I felt compelled
to work with Jamaica. Although in many cases, sometimes Jamaica was not kind to me. I could not turn my back on Jamaica because everything I know, everything I think about, everything I feel, every fiber of my body is Jamaican. I'm a Jamaican born and bred, and I'll be a Jamaican even when I'm dead. So that's my philosophy.
Is that a song?
It's written by me, actually.
Oh,
I do write poetry. I do write a lot of stuff and so on. And even
oh,
music,
okay. It has a nice ring to it. I like it. What are the visions? Let's see. What are the specific vision and mission of your expertise?
Well, you know, what my goal has changed a little bit in the sense that what I'm trying to do is to get Jamaicans to collaborate to cooperate and to communicate as one and as one voice. That is my mission. I mean, apart from the task force, you know, we are too fragmented. We need to work together. If we work together as one, as Marcus Garvey had hoped and many others have hoped, we would be a force. And we are a force to be reckoned with. But we still need a lot of pruning, a lot of training. We need to come together and we need to love one another regardless. We need to get rid of the bad mind that was embedded in us through slavery and all that sort of something. We have to get rid of it. And if we don't get rid of it, we're in trouble. Because a lot of I'm telling you. Because if you don't treat your brother right, they're not going to treat you right. We have to treat our women right, so that they understand that they can be great mothers. And we have to set an example, exemplo ducimus, for the children that we have. We have to set example. We can't leave them out there to grow themselves. They didn't ask to be here. So I do believe that we need to be truly Jamaica. We need to be our roots, and we need to adapt, be educated, and we need to use those attributes to bring our country and our people together wherever we are. That's why I found you.
So can you share some of its accomplishments?
Accomplishments in terms of?
In terms of the Jamaica Crime Intervention.
Well, we have done a lot of stuff out there, and we have made outreach, and we have made an impact, and we have tried to help Jamaica to the security forces and so on. But unfortunately, they have not utilized our services as well as we would have liked to be. However, I do believe that right now our focus is on the children, because whatever is happening in Jamaica and whatever is happening here, we have to start with the children, because there's a generation that I think we have missed, right? And what we need to do is to go back to the basics, go back to when we used to teach things about civility in the classroom. We have to go back to when we had to stand up for the national anthem. We have to go back when we had to say yes, please, and no, thank you, or thank you. We had to go back to those days that we learned the old time, old school ways, in some ways to bring back the Jamaica where people are, for a land that has developed reggae and all that, those nice, loving things, for Belafonte to sing about lovingly about the country. This is what Jamaica is and should be. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to come back. Not violence, not anything. We need to get our Jamaica back. And in many ways, we have affected and infected the world. I'll use an analogy like COVID-19. I know it's not going to go down very well. But if we can do that with our Jamaican pride, if we can do that with our Jamaican enthusiasm, if we can do that with our psyche, and make them feel we will be the masters of our own destiny. So basically,
that was very profound. So,
thank you.
With that profound statement, complete this statement. Because of my organization, in 5 years, Jamaica will improve in the following 3 ways.
Well, because of my organization, or the organization which I represent, which is a number of us, not me alone, there are a number of wonderful people who have volunteered, wonderful people out there, and I want to pay tribute to them for having helped and worked with me during that time, and I really appreciate their help. I'm not alone, I've never been alone, and I don't want to be alone. But I think that the major thing...
No man's an island, play on words.
Beg your pardon?
I said, no man's an island. You know,
no man's an island. No man stands alone. Each man's joy to me, and each man's grief my own. Now, let me make it clear that one of the things that I would say that we have done, we have raised the bar in terms of our connection with Jamaica, right? And the importance of our connection and maintain that the diaspora is the future, can be the future with Jamaica. Right? Not just giving back money to Jamaica, but we can help Jamaica to build into a first world country that it should be. The second thing is this, that I think that Jamaica has already is leading. Look at what happened in COVID-19. Jamaica had one of the most important and responses to COVID-19, and an effective, I should say, responses to COVID-19. Only so far 10 deaths in how many cases that we have had, right?
Really?
No, and we have been able to hold it down, okay? And the third thing is that I would love to see is that if we can affect the Jamaican psyche, we can be able to make sure that we work together, we play together, and we learn from each other and take the best of both worlds and put it together for the future of Jamaica. That is what I would like to see happen from what we have done. Not just about crime. Crime is just an aspect of what is happening in Jamaica. But if we can lay the foundation that people, social intervention, and we can bring expertise down there, not just money, but people and identify and create institutions outside of Jamaica. Because I can tell you one thing. There's a thing called Blue Moho Investment, and I'm going to mention it here. Little company that has an idea of bringing all our resources together and competing with the big boys on NASDAQ. These are the companies that we need, Jamaican companies, to show their worth and to show their worth in the diaspora, and we must stand behind them and work it out so that we can, in fact, become a first world nation, although we are small.
We lick a butt with Talawa.
That is absolutely appropriate and right.
And we just celebrated our 58th independence. Can you a reflection of what that means to you?
Let me tell you something. On that day, when that flag was raised, there was only one television in the that we could access in my village. And I was right there looking at it. And I am telling you, I had goosebumps when I saw...
The Union Jack go down?
Yes, and the Union Jack go down. And you know what is interesting? I will tell you this one. The gentleman, the officer who presided over the Jamaica Defense Force parade at the time, I didn't know that he was to become my future father-in-law.
Wow.
I was a little boy. And I was,
and
yes, he was my father-in-law. Brigadier Robinson.
And then you want to hear some trivia, too, with that Union Jack?
What's that?
My dad was one of the guys who was raising the flag.
Wonderful. That's absolutely great. So you see, we both have a connection. And it's a small world, you know. And let me tell you something. Jamaica is a God-blessed country. All we need to do is for people to understand that those persons who live there and live outside are patriots. Are Jamaicans just as, you know, anywhere in the world. And what we understand, anytime I walk into a supermarket and I hear a voice and I say, Jamaican, no? I just get a smile, a broad smile. So I just don't know where the violence comes from. I just don't know where those are other, you know. So we need to get back to those days.
Go back to a simpler
and we're really,
time.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
That's what that day meant to me.
What would you share to encourage the folks to get involved and give back to your organization?
Well, to be quite honest with you, right now we are trying to regroup, as it were. I'm now in Florida. I'm no longer in California, and I'd like to regroup. I'd like to get a couple people who have knowledge. Whether you have knowledge about the law enforcement, whatever it is, because it's a multifaceted. I didn't tell you about the aims and objects. It's a multifaceted approach towards crime. You know, it's not just like what these guys are doing. You know, trying to kill black folks. No, that's not what it's about. It is about finding out what are the root causes of crime and to dealing with the root causes of crime. And it's going to take some time. So we need social scientists. We need professors. We need psychologists. We need people who work with children. We need pastors. We need doctors. We need every possible educators, every possible person that can ascribe and put something in there. Because let me make it quite clear. We're working right now, and we're, as I said, with the children, and we're trying to work with the JCCF, trying to broaden the uniform groups. You remember, we grew up with uniform groups, et cetera, et cetera. And so if we have people with those type of expertise who were once in the cadet corps and can reach back and mentor a child or two or what have you from their villages, you know, get the policemen, you know, get them to, you know, start to do more community policing. I would like people to reach out to us so that we can petition the government, do whatever we have, and all those things and do things for Jamaica just to make sure that our home is the type of paradise that we want it to be. That's what I would like them to do. Reach out to us. Let's talk about it. Let's have a conversation. Let's move forward. And don't be a talk shop. Let's see if we can do some action while we're at it.
So in conclusion, what are your final words of wisdom you would like to share? Because it's nice that you said that we need those people. And the thing really exciting about Jamaicans in the diaspora, that all those titles, all those positions, you know, that you just mentioned, we have those people in our community.
Absolutely.
So it's a matter of distributing this message, and they will hear it and get back with you. Because trust me, we are we're a diverse group. So there's someone out there that was going to hear this message. So because someone's going to hear this positive message, what is your final words of wisdom that you would like to share?
I'm a strong believer in God Almighty, and I do believe in this. We have strayed from our ways like lost sheep in Jamaica. Now, I'm no paragon of virtue myself, but I can say that I think that we have. And what we need is a balm in Gilead. We need to go, we need to get a balm. We need to find out what it is, and we need to work together. Forget the isms and the schisms. Forgetting the so-called perceived differences. Forget the politics. Just let us get together and use our resources to help. I'd also like to bring up the words of Khalid Gibran, and he says, it's only when you give of yourself that you truly give, only when you give up yourself, that you truly give. And leaders are not born necessarily, they are made. So we all have leaders out there, and you can do something. If we can take the silliest thing and post it on social media and to create laughter and what have it goes viral, why don't we take something about Jamaica and make it go viral? Why don't we do that? It's only when you give up yourself that you truly give, and you must also lead by example. Exemplo ducimus. Don't sit on the wayside and say, oh, that is to be done. That. Get involved, because it's only by getting involved that we can take control of our destiny, which is both here and there as Jamaicans. That's all I would like to say to my fellow Jamaicans. Please hear my cry. Please hear the children's cry. Please let us make Jamaica what it should be, could be, and will be.
Wow. So to learn more about Jamaican Diaspora, visit JamaicanDiaspora.com. To learn more about Chris Daly, visit Digital2Grow.com. So that's Digital2Grow.com. To learn, to get in contact with Dr. Francis, Facebook, Jamaica Diaspora Crime Intervention and Prevention Task Force. And did you have a connecting number from Blue Maho? Did you have a website that you wanted to keep?
Blue Maho Limited, I think. But I can have it for you once they contact. I just happened to have come across them, and I feel that they're wonderful people, and they have a great, you know, thing for Jamaica. And they want to put, and I will definitely, once they contact me, and I'm not afraid to give out my telephone number, if you don't mind, I could tell you it's 909-994-2490, 909-994-2490. But once you hit me up by the WhatsApp, whatever have you, I'm on Messenger or I'm on Facebook, Rupert A. Francis, Dr. Rupert A. Francis, it doesn't matter. Just reach me, and I will certainly do my best. I'm on LinkedIn. You know, it's very easy to find me. You know, and locate, and the Jamaica Diaspora Crime Intervention and Prevention Task Force, hit it up, send me a message, and I will definitely respond to you. And if you don't get one, please continue. Because I'm quite, you know, it's quite a busy thing that I'm doing. So please call again. All right.
Awesome. Well, Dr. Francis, we do thank you, and we'll see you next time. Bye now.
Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you very much. Wonderful, Chris. Wonderful, Janice. Wonderful. Thank you.